I'm Jeff Swetman, and thank you so much for listening to another WNRN in studio session. We're at the Jefferson Center in Roanoke, as tonight it's the Wood Brothers with Lindsay Liu, and we're thrilled and honored to be joined today for a special few songs and a quick Q&A with Lindsay Liu. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for doing this, and good to meet you. And you've got your, is it a 1952 guitar, you said?
Yeah.
Ready to go. So yeah, let's have you get into a song. Which song did you want to do for us? We've been playing a couple of the singles off of the Queen of Time record.
I'll start with the song called On Your Side, which is sort of an invitation to sink in and be here. You know, there's all sorts of stuff happening in the world outside this room. We can just kind of be here for a little bit. You can take it easy now. You can rest your mind. We're not going anywhere. Time is on our side. You can be the storm and the lightning in the sky. I will be a shelter, 'cause I am on your side. And trouble is a pretty word wrapped around your little finger. You said it hoping I would linger just a little longer. And fire is a coward hiding in the smoke. She came in and you woke just a little stronger. You can take it easy now, you can rest your mind. We're not going anywhere, time is on our side. You can be the storm and the lightning in the sky. I will be a shelter, 'cause I am on your side. And it's not gonna be how you thought it would. That don't mean it won't be good. You're not lost just 'cause you wander. Pour yourself a drink, take a turn out on the dance floor. What else could you ask for? If it's love, it can't be conquered. And you can take it easy now, you can rest your mind. We're not going anywhere, time is on our side. You can be the storm and the lightning in the sky. I will be a shelter, 'cause I'm on your side. Lightning in the sky. I will be a shelter, 'cause I'm on your side. I know it's 1 in the afternoon, but I still have like my morning voice. It's so funny.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Lindsay Liu on WNRN before the show in Roanoke tonight at the Jefferson Center with the Wood Brothers. Now, Queen of Time is the album, and there's a title track, and I'm wondering, that's just such an evocative phrase, and when in the process did that kind of become the centerpiece of the album?
So I started making the record. Well, you know, it's hard to actually talk about these things. It's like, when did I start being me, you know? but I wrote the title track in like 2016, so before Southland was released or anything.
Wow.
But I started tracking songs for the record like a couple days before the pandemic really hit. And everyone like got sent home, you know, from the road, and like the real business started. It was like 2 or 3 days before that. My grandma was still alive when I started making the record, but I had had this idea of calling it The Unattainable Woman based on an excerpt from an Alan Watts book that I had been reading. In the excerpt, he's talking about how we gravitate towards things like art and poetry because of their ability to capture things that are always changing. And he alludes to like this woman who you can never quite have because she's always changing. And it reminded me a lot of my grandmother, who is like just such a woman unto herself. And she belonged to everybody so much that she belonged to nobody specifically, you know? And she kind of like was the unattainable woman to me. And she passed in March of 2021. So when I was sort of in the middle of the thick of making the record. And that last song, On Your Side, I always really think of her when I sing it, because she just was, she, you know, she like started homeless shelters and would go dumpster diving to provide for people. And no matter where she was a shelter, you know. There was just always all sorts of very interesting characters hanging around because anywhere my grandma was, they could be, you know. It was like a safe place for them to, you know, smoke cigarettes and play cards and just have people leave them alone. And so I wanted to call it The Unattainable Woman. And then I finished the record and I was listening to it with a friend, my friend Jake Simpson, who plays in a band called The Little Smokies. And I gave him like a preview of what might have been like a first version of The Master that I played for him. And right after Queen of Time played, it's right in the middle of the record, he said, "Is that the name of the record, Queen of Time?" And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, it actually is. Like that kind of says what I wanted to say more succinctly even. I still put the excerpt from the Alan Watts book on the jacket of the record for anybody who still likes the hard material, the souvenir. But that song, just after he said that, I realized how much that song is really a centerpiece of the record. I don't think it's the earliest version, because I think that I wrote Love Calls before Queen of Time even. It was another one that just didn't make it onto Southland, but I had it before that. Wow. It's hard to see the whole timeline now, but but so it's one of the oldest songs on the record, and, you know, I wrote it kind of in like a sort of preliminary stage that foreshadowed a lot of the changes that came in my life, that the pandemic just sort of gave space for those changes to happen. And it's all about, you know, Alice falling down the rabbit hole and having her own dream demand that she claims who she is, you know, and just sort of being faced with things that we don't know how to deal with, things like grief and, you know, life changes and things that take you out of your comfort zone, out of the familiar. It really shows you who you are. It demands that you claim who you are, things like that. And, you know, so having made the record and sitting there and listening to it and having my friend ask me, "Is that the name of the record?" It's like all of a sudden it all sort of fell into place and I realized that, yeah, that is the name of the record.
We're talking with Lindsay Liu here on WNRN. And, you know, some artists write songs for family members or inspired by them. You've gone a step further and actually incorporated sound bites. I love that aspect of the album where you've got your grandma Nancy actually talking to you over the phone and a lot of hours of recordings. How did you decide to start doing that? And then I'm sure that was a very tough part to decide, like, what you wanted to include in the record.
It was surprisingly easy. When I was little, I would sit at her feet and just listen to her telling me stories about her life, because it was so unusual and so radical, and she was so firm in what she believed, and what she believed sort of, you know, went against the grain of what you see in our culture at large. She really walked the walk. And a lot of people thought she was extreme, you know, and she was, but it was just really inspiring to me. So as I got older and she got older, and, you know, for the last three, 4 years of her life, she was pretty much, she lived in the Lazy Boy in the living room, and she didn't leave the Lazy Boy in the living room very much. And I just could tell that things were, you know, coming to a close for Grandma's story. And so initially I thought that I wanted to have her write her life story for me. So I sent her a bunch of notebooks and pens.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to have these stories forever. And she was like, I can't do that. I can't see. I can't hold a pen that long. Like, right. You know, like that's not. And so I was on the road with the Flat Bellies at the time, and we listened to a lot of podcasts. My ex-husband especially was super into podcasts. So we were always listening to podcasts. And PJ, who's a Roanoke native local, he was like, why don't you do a podcast with Grandma Nancy and you can get her story that way? And I just thought that was such a genius idea. So what I did was I found an app called Tape a Call, and I called her up and I said, is it cool if I just call you once a week and we can start at the beginning and we'll for about an hour every week, we'll see how far we can get each hour, and then I'll call you back the next week and we can pick back up. And so, and she was into that. She was like, one time she was like, I was wondering why you want to do this, why you want to record my life story. And then I realized it's probably because by knowing me, you know yourself better. And I was like, yeah, exactly. But also her story is just so cool. So I have about 27 hours that I captured, and I did this funny thing where towards the end, as we got toward the end of the story, I started to like space them out really far because this like weird thing was happening in my head that didn't make sense. But I was like, once we finish her story, like maybe that'll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be the end of Grandma.
Yeah.
So I would go like month or months between calling her, which doesn't make any sense. But I've left my husband in the pandemic. That's sort of the thing I allude to. It's a funny thing to talk about because I love him so dearly and we're such good friends. But that was just something that had to happen. And I moved back to the UP for a couple months in the winter after that happened. And I just like slept on the couch next to my grandma for weeks. And it was such a precious time that I wouldn't have had if I wouldn't have had to be going through that.
Yeah.
And she passed a couple months after that. So I was there from like November, December, January, and then she passed in March. And then I was still working on the record after she passed, and I played. My friends have such a huge role in my life. You'll hear me reference my friends a lot. Another occasion where they had an impact on this project was when I played for them the song Love Calls. I was playing it for my friends Amelia and Allie at a bonfire late night. They were like, can we hear a little snippet of what you're working on? Mm-hmm. So I played them just that song. And there were these long spaces that we were going to fill with maybe jam or, you know, it was kind of open for an idea. But the version I played them, it was sort of just like a pad of you know, a couple minutes of just rhythm. And they're like, we want more Lou there. And I thought, well, what version of Lou goes there? And I realized it was the version of Lou that does the grandma stories. And so I just knew what story I wanted. I went back to it. I found it pretty easily. And I made it so that it fit in those spaces. And once her story was in that song, the song made more sense. It like gave the song more context to me. It's like I wrote the song and the song made more sense to me once she was in it, you know?
Yep.
And then the whole record made more sense to me. And then we were pretty much finished with the record. We're to the mastering point. You know, this was over the course of a couple of years. This was 2020, 2021, 2022, about 3 years I was working on it. We were pretty much finished, but there was this space between Shame and Silent, the last two songs, that just felt like jarring to move from that punk rock, my like punk rock anthem, to this like folk ballad.
Yeah.
just topic wise too, I felt like I needed something to bridge that, those two songs, a transition. And it just dawned on me. It was like, I knew it. You know, I really believe she guided me through a lot of this. I remembered this conversation that I'd had with her that wasn't a part of Grandma Stories. It was just, but I did record it. And it was just me having like a total existential crisis to her about many things, one of which was losing her. And it was convenient for me that I got to have that with her.
Yeah.
So she could talk me through it. You know, we don't all get that opportunity to let the people who we lose talk us through that. But of course, as usual, she knew the exact right thing to say. And I thought that maybe a lot of people could benefit from hearing what she had to say there. And it bridged that gap perfectly. It was like a bow on the whole narrative that tied it all together with the one last little bit there, you know?
Yeah, this too shall pass for sure. And I'm wondering if you've heard from friends or fans that you may be inspired to do the same sort of thing with their relatives. I mean, my grandma, my mom's mom had 13 kids and she was the 13th of them. So sometimes I think like, man, if she hadn't had that 13th kid, right, I would not be here. Yeah. So, you know, it gets heavy sometimes, but that's really cool. I'm sure you're so glad you have all those recordings, but you know, have you heard any feedback? Like once people heard the record and things like that, finding out about the app, like I didn't know there was an app like that.
Yeah, totally. I have. I've talked with some friends. My friend Maya DeVitri, who was a co-writer on the first track of Queen of Time and dear friend. I've done writing, a lot of other writing with her too, but she started to record some of her grandmother as well. So I have heard from some friends who have done it and some fans. The biggest thing I've heard from people at shows is just that the record has just been a comfort for them for whatever grief or loss they had to go through. You know, it's something that we all have to deal with. And it's not fair, but it is part of it. And so just to have a piece to be able to connect with people like that has been really huge. I made a big point for the Queen of Time record to go out after the show and talk with people and make sure that everybody who wanted to have a minute to talk or tell me a story or anything could. And it had a really big impact on me to be able to do that. And just hear how the record had been in people, working through people's lives. And for me, you know, I felt a palpable spiritual thing happen when I released the record. It was like I was able to release everything that I had been going through that inspired the making of it. All of the arduous, you know, work that I had done, it was like releasing the record let me also just sort of release it off my chest, you know? I felt lighter just having it in the world. And I felt like I was able to, like, move on and come out the other side, you know?
Yeah, for sure. We're here with Lindsay Liu, special performance before the show at the Jefferson Center in Roanoke tonight, opening for the Wood Brothers. Which song did you want to play next for us?
I was a little bit torn, but after all that talk about Queen of Time, I figure I should probably play that song. I'm tempted to almost retune my guitar, but that might take a little bit longer than I want to right now. But I played this guitar on the record, but tuned to open D, so it has like it has a nice sound when it's tuned to open D, but then it'd be a whole thing. What a thrill it is to not be needed. What a drag it is to be all thrills. I'm a wishing well. I'm a wishing well. Well, well. Check it out. Here's a moment to be still. Call it loneliness, call it what you will. I'm the queen of time, I'm the queen of time. Fine, fine. adore. I have seen that look before. I'm the queen of time. I'm the queen of time. Fine, fine. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
Lindsay Liu joining us for a WNRN in studio session before the show in Roanoke tonight at the Jefferson Center and the Wood Brothers. You've been touring with them, Billy Strings, Jerry Douglas on the record. When did all of those fine folks enter your orbit?
Well, the acoustic, you know, especially the bluegrass scene, it's so accessible, you know. If you are engaged and you are devoted to the music, then, you know, and playing and picking and I don't know, those people are just going to come into your life. Billy, I met in Michigan. Me and the Flat Valleys were playing a little opening set for the Traverse City Film Festival for one of the films. Had to be 2012. And he came waltzing into our green room. At the time, he was like bussing tables at,
five or something? Like
yeah. He was 19. He was 19. And he and Mark, who was playing dobro with me, went and did some busking after that. And I remember hearing him and just thinking, oh, geez, you know? Okay. He's like, you can just like feel this spirit of Doc Watson. You can feel how deeply important Doc is to him and his music. And also just his own spirit and how it, you know, that inspiration shines through him is such a special thing. So, you know, and I had been listening to a bunch of Doc Watson and just like wishing that he was my grandpa. Or like, you know, just like calling him in to be in my family. And then, you know, and then this kid comes along and you know, he would always put us up every time the Flat Bellies were touring through Traverse City. He would put us up and we would stay up all night picking and partying. And then we moved to Nashville and he called me up one day and was like, I'm thinking about moving to Nashville or Denver. And I was like, well, you should definitely come to Nashville because all of our heroes are here. And he was like, well, I'll just put a little birdie in your ear about a place to live. And like that night, my neighbor across the street came out and was like, this house can become available if you know anybody. And I called him up. And I was like, well, found your spot. So we were neighbors for a good handful of years there in Nashville, just across the street from each other. And he really does feel like a brother to me at this point. And it's been so cool. And not surprising to see his path, you know. And, you know, you move to Nashville and you play bluegrass music. Like, you're going to run into these people. So I've been really lucky and fortunate to be surrounded by people who I admire so deeply.
Yeah, and I love the line about rules are meant to be broken. So how would you apply that to your music? For folks that don't know, you're on the Kill Rockstars Nashville branch.
Yeah.
That's one of the legendary indie labels. I always think of them as being Pacific Northwest and very punk rock. And now they've opened up a Nashville branch. So that's amazing.
Yeah, they put out Elliott Smith's records and we're in that grunge, Seattle grunge scene. And they have a really sweet ethos and I met their team. You know, I had a hard time at first. You know, because one of my best friends is a rock star. And I was a little bit like, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I could be a label. But then, like, you know, their whole team is just so, so cool and so forward thinking and so just exactly the type of people that I want on my team. Yeah, so this is my first label experience. And They've supported me, and you know, everybody on my team just supports me all the way in whatever I want to do and my artistic voice and my however I want to express myself. I'm also really fortunate to have a team like that. I wouldn't have any other team that wasn't like that, but I'm fortunate to have found people who are willing to work with me like that.
So you're kind of making your own rules, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if it's like the Aries in me or what, but or the ADD in me, or I don't know what, but I can't stick with just one thing. You know, you got to follow the muse. And you know, I always tell people I wouldn't make the music that I make had bluegrass not come into my life and given me the tools to access music on a deeper level than, you know, playing my strummy folk songs before that. So bluegrass gave me so much, but I don't play bluegrass, you know? I love being in a bluegrass jam, and I love singing those songs with people. I grew up in a family where there was lots of harmony singing, so it felt like coming home to find that scene. But, you know, I've grew up, like, as a kid, my favorite people were the Cranberries and Lauryn Hill and, you know, Operation Ivy and Anti-Flag. And, you know, like, those were the people that I loved. And then in college, growing up, I listened to a lot of, like, Nat King Cole. I was always trying to, like, emulate how he gets that tone. And then I got really into Billie Holiday in college and Ella Fitzgerald. And so it's like, you know, music. It's like music with a capital M. You will never... It's more of like a fan thing to want to put rules on what you can and can't sound like. But like any musician you talk to is going to tell you all about the multitude of influences that have impacted them and worked their way into their how they express themselves, you know? So, and it's just more noticeable for some than others. I do these exercises sometimes where I'll try to write like 20 songs in a day. And it's like one song to the next sounds so different. And that's just me, you know? And I can't be anybody else. So I guess if there are rules in that sense, then yeah, I'm happy to break them.
Well said. It's Lindsay Liu here on WNRN. And which song did you want to take us out with here?
I wanted to end with the first song on the record, which is one that was written by my friends Maya DeVitri and Phoebe Hunt. And when I heard it, I thought they had written it for me. They didn't. But they said I could record it anyway. And I've had a lot of people write to me and tell me that this song in particular has really moved them. They've been listening to this one on repeat. So I think that a lot of people feel like it was written for them. I could break my only heart. I don't need the world to hear me to know that I am singing. I'm I'm singing, nothing else matters. If I give myself away, I don't need to see the sunset to know that we have parted. I'm weeping and nothing else matters. We were one long night, we were one sweet morning, we were all time. I don't need to live forever to know I'll always love you. I love you and nothing else matters. Yes, I love you and nothing else matters.
Lindsay Liu here today with us. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for all the time and the songs. Congrats on all the success with Queen of Time.
Thank you.
And enjoy your time in Roanoke here. The show is tonight at the Jefferson Center. The Wood Brothers and Lindsay Liu. Maybe collaborate at some point during the show. We don't want to give anything away, but
maybe.
Very nice. Well, thank you again so much. So nice to meet you. And thanks again for doing this for WNRN.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.